Welcome back, Four Seasons Podcast, special in-studio edition. Zach Noble is beside me right now. Zach, how you doing?
Doing awesome. It's good to be live with you for a change. We got to do this more. But excited. When we saw this article come out, we talked about it over like a long time ago. We were excited. We knew we had to turn it into an episode. Excited to talk past champions. I'm a huge proponent of winning. I think winning is the most important thing in team sports. I think it's everything. It's what everybody's playing for. So it's fun talking about who are the best winners.
Absolutely. It's the Champion of Champions tournament. We're doing a 16-team tournament. The past champions dating back from 2002 all the way up to these Warriors that just won it this last season in 2017. Matt Moore, actually, of CBS, came out with an article, and he did his version of who would win. But this was during the season last year, and so his teams were the 2001 Lakers all the way through the 2016 Cavaliers. So we kind of remixed it, but this is basically the setup that Matt Moore used officially on CBS, with the exception of we're just substituting the 2017 Warriors in for the 2001 Lakers. So if you're keeping track at home while you listen to this or something, you can pull it up on CBS Sports and just search Matt Moore for his past champions article. So we're going to start in the top left section. We have the 2015 Warriors, and they are playing the 2004 Detroit Pistons. Who you got?
Yeah, so first of all, none of these series are going to be blowouts, in my opinion. I mean, there's going to be a ton of 5-6-game series, more 7-game series. I didn't have one sweep in this entire tournament. But this one, getting started, I had the 2015 Warriors, one of the best teams in this tournament. It wasn't easy, honestly, because this Pistons is such a historically great defensive team. I had the Warriors winning in 6.
Huh. I have Warriors in 4. My only sweep of the entire tournament. Like you said, these are all champions. All these games are going to be close, down to the wire, epic games that'll never happen. But for people that can use their imagination, this is going to be fun. I have the Warriors in 4 over the Pistons because of this reason right here. The Pistons, the 2004 Pistons are known for their defense. They were 18th in the league offensively. They were in the bottom half of the league in offense. Do you know what the Warriors were in 2015 on defense?
Yeah, they were pretty damn amazing.
They were first in the entire league on defense. And so that is not a good matchup for the Pistons. 18th ranked offense in the league. They were champions, but that was because of their defense. Ben Wallace down low with Tayshaun Prince and Rasheed Wallace stretching the floor. But the Warriors being first on defense will absolutely smother anything the Pistons can do offensively.
This is why that's not so far-fetched. I disagree severely. But the Pistons offense wasn't even a playoff offense. I mean, it's pretty disgusting. They were the 18th ranked offensive rating, that is. But this defense is freaking historical. I'd say one of the top 10 of all time, maybe even lower. So they gave up the least amount of points that year at 84.3, and that's an historic number. This defense, and the thing that matches up so well with these guys is they can play the small ball. Yet the Pistons ranked 18th in pace, so that's a big problem. It was 24th in pace. and this is at a time there was only 29 teams in the league. So that's not good at all. When you got the Warriors who, they're fucking fast as hell. I mean, it's tough. I mean, definitely has a strong argument there. But for instance, I mean, this Pistons team made 6 consecutive conference finals. They match up so well. I mean, small ball, they just should be able to slow their defense is so good. I think they could match up really well with these guys and slow them down. But that Warriors team, that offense is historical as well. For instance, that Pistons team, I know their competition wasn't as strong. They held 9 separate games in the playoffs under 75 points, putting that in perspective.
Yeah, that's wild. Their defense is definitely what they're known for, and they are intimidating as shit. But this 2015 Warriors team was, at the time, a juggernaut, the most lethal offensive team that we've ever seen. That's why I have him in four. You said you have him in how many?
Six. But also, think about this. I mean, they beat that historic Lakers team, yet they weren't historic as playing as one unit, cohesive unit. But they were historic as the talent they had on that team. And even though the Karl Malone and Gary Payton were old on that team, they still had a PER in the playoffs of over 17 and over 15 for the year. That's pretty damn good. I mean, anytime, in my opinion, you get a PER over, that's a player efficiency rating, over 15, I think that's really good. So four guys over 17, that's unheard of. And they beat that team pretty easily in the finals. But yes, there was a lot of personal problems going on with that Lakers team too. So yes, you can break down this argument pretty good. Regardless, the Warriors are advancing.
All right, we both got Warriors going on in the first game of this first round. Going down the list, so we're going to go the first round on the left side all the way down, those four games, and then we're going to snake over to the right side. So the next game down is 2016 Cavaliers, and they're playing the 2002 Lakers. Who you got?
Oh, man, this, I hate getting started this early with stuff this tough. I mean, this is one people are probably going to be arguing about more than anything. This is the most debatable one on the entire first round.
I agree.
Scorecard. I mean, it's tough. I went back and forth on this for a long. It tears me up. I'm trembling just thinking about this matchup. But I honestly, because there's no answer for Shaq, I went Lakers in seven games. And that Cavs team, okay, this was the best LeBron. It's tough. One or two. 1A or 1B. I definitely give edge to one of his Heat teams. And that's the 2013 one. But this Cavs team went 57-25. They gelled in the playoffs. If this Cavs team would have played this past Warriors team, it would have been a lot closer, even though basically the same players, they played as a cohesive unit that year. That Cavs team was unstoppable. That ball movement was phenomenal. Because of Shaq, the Lakers, great ball movement as well. I just think that was the deal breaker there, and I think Kobe's defense would have slowed LeBron down on another level. So I'm going Lakers in seven.
That's understandable, and I'm not even mad about it. I had the Cavs in seven, and a lot of me wanted to pick the Lakers in this because of Shaq. He's the most dominant basketball player maybe of all time. There is nothing anybody can do to stop him. But there is something that a lot of people can do to stop him, and that's to hack him, to foul him. The Cavs played 11 deep in the 2016 season. They had Kyrie and Delly at point, JR and Mo Williams at the two, LeBron and Shumpert at the three, which LeBron hardly ever came out of games, but Shumpert was just another utility guy. They had Love, Channing Frye, and RJ at the four, and Tristan Thompson and Mozgov at the five. All 11 of those guys, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 of those guys can be designated Shaq hackers. That's why they're on the roster. And to stop somebody as dominant as Shaq, you're going to need multiple people to just throw at him. They were 29th in the league at free throw percentage. And all of that is because of Shaq. I put Shaq on the line, maybe not even any, but like before he touches the ball. I wouldn't even let him catch it.
It all depends on what rules you're playing by, but... yeah, I looked at this. I didn't include much of the rules because we didn't really specify that. But definitely, yeah, sure, you can make that argument. But this Cavs team, I don't think they, as good as they were a better one unit than the Warriors were that year. But they should not have won that series. They should not have been champions. They should not have came back from 3-1 that year. If Draymond Green doesn't do that, I'm sorry. Cavs don't win. There's all these what-ifs, but that I factored that in as well. So the Lakers were a top-five defense that year. Cavs were, they weren't only a top-10. They were 10th at best that year. So that's kind of what did it for me. I'm glad you at least have it seven games, but that's tough.
I do have seven, but another thing to look at, these two teams are 14 years apart.
Yeah.
That's the biggest gap in this entire tournament. And it's really interesting. You mentioned the rule changes. That's a huge part of this. We don't know what era they're going to be playing in. But as far as pace goes, the Lakers were third in the league offensively, scoring 101 points per game. Third.
Yep.
The Cavs in 2016 were 8th in the league, scoring 104.3 points per game. That's crazy to think about, and that just goes to show that this day and age, people score, and aren't more reliable on their defense like they were in 2002.
Exactly. I'm a huge proponent, and I always say it. Offense, today's game means so much more. Yeah, exactly. Defense was better back then, though. They cared more, definitely. But, yeah, I mean, they play different styles, definitely. The Lakers competition, though, that's another thing to look at. The Lakers competition, and they ran through it. They beat that really good Blazers team 3-0. They beat San Antonio 4-1. They beat the Kings in 7 games, and then they swept the Jason Kidd, Vince Carter, Richard Jefferson Nets. So, I mean, sure, regardless of the finals, but the Cavs, I mean, their defense, yeah, it's tough. I'm okay with that one on your pick there, but that's probably the best matchup of the first round by far.
Right, I agree. I mean, the Lakers that regular season won 58 games, the Cavs won 57. Another thing that made me choose the Cavs real quick here is their supporting cast. If you take a look at the scores for the Cavs, 19 points per game for Kyrie, 12 for JR, LeBron 25, Love 16, and then their other help guys, Delly 7.5, Mo Williams 8 points a game. I think TT only averaged 7.8, but Channing Frye and RJ both 7.5 points a game. After Shaq and Kobe on the 2002 Lakers, they got 6.8 points per game from Robert Horry. 7 points a game from Fox, and Derek Fisher averaged 11 points per game. Outside of Kobe and Shaq, they weren't doing shit.
Hey, they all, top 8 guys had a true shooting percentage of over 50%, and the other guys didn't even play for a freaking minute. So, I only really judge the people that are playing, and eight guy deep, sure, Samaki Walker as their 8th man, that's questionable.
Yeah.
That's questionable, but I mean, they just played as one, and Shaq and Kobe, I think, man, that's tough. It's a fun argument.
It's the best first-round game that we've had.
So let's move on.
All right, next game, 2013 Miami Heat.
Not 2, not 3, not 4, not 5, not 6, not 7.
Against the 2005 San Antonio Spurs.
All right, man. So with this, this is the best Heat team. This, in my opinion, this is the best LeBron team. This Spurs defense, though, was the 15th best defensive rating of all time. All time. And that's not just the 16 teams we're talking about. That's all time. So the 2013 Heat, they also had that really historical 27-game win streak, second longest ever. That's fun to think about, but has nothing to do with this playoff run, let's be honest. But the Heat went 66-16. And the amount of teams that have won over 65 games, I believe, are less than 15, maybe less than 10. I don't have that exact number here, but the Spurs competition was also much harder in the first two rounds and all the way through. You can argue the Celtics, the Heat, but like they were the Celtics were at the end of their run. Mm-hmm. The Heat just ran through that playoffs, and rightfully so. That competition sucked. So the Spurs beat the Nuggets, they beat the Suns, and they beat the Sonics. And if you go back and look, those teams were really, really good.
Yeah. So who do you have winning the game?
I guess that's the real question. That's I just broken down how I looked at this, but honestly, because that defense is so good, I said 6 games and the Heat win. There's no way I'm taking LeBron's best team. And then I going down in the first round.
So you said Heat and 6?
Heat and 6.
Okay, that's exactly what I have too.
Cool.
Yeah, that 2003 Heat team was unreal. And I know you know that the 2012 Heat team is also in this tournament. I just think the 2013 Heat team has been there before. They added Ray Allen, which a lot of people don't know. He was not on the roster in 2012.
Also shouldn't have won.
Yes, that was a very, very clutch.
He was on the line. He was on the line.
But yeah, I also have the 2013 Heat beating the 2005 Spurs in 6 games.
Fair. And that's one series I think, if any, could have gone much less.
Yep.
That Spurs team, Manu and Tony Parker were just reaching their peak. They weren't in full form yet. And honestly, from an offensive perspective, I mean, those two teams ran at different lengths. And this is LeBron's best defensive team that he had in his entire career.
Yep.
Dwayne Wade was still in full form. But yeah,
that was young, healthy Dwayne Wade.
Young, healthy Dwayne Wade in 2013. Think again, buddy.
Yeah.
But it's he's still moving right. Mm-hmm. He's still moving right. That was his last time. I'd say that's the last time Dwayne Wade really moved right.
What, this 2016?
Like, at 100%, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Speaking of, two Heat battles. 2012 Heat versus the 2006 Heat. And this 2006 Heat team had that young, healthier Dwayne Wade, who was just a freak in the playoffs. They did have Shaq down low. A lot of people remember Shaq, his tenure with the Heat, and this is it because he got a championship in Miami with this team. But he was obviously declining in his career. Who you got in this Heat matchup?
Well, who do you think the third highest scorer on that 2006 Heat team was?
So it's Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, some Antoine Walker.
My man.
Is that right?
My man. That's at 13.3 points per game.
Yeah, people forget about him. I liked Antoine Walker.
That broke man. He went from 28.4. Dwayne Wade, Shaq at 18.4. And this isn't prime Shaq by any means. So,
no.
It's literally Dwayne Wade versus really good Dwayne Wade yet. Plus
Dwayne Wade was
the
scary.
Best LeBron, in my opinion. Plus the best and most manly LeBron.
Yes.
I think it's a 5-6 game series. If I had to choose, I'm going 6 games. Just because I think that team was a little deeper than people thought. That Heat team, they were pretty solid defensively. Let's see here. They were a top 5 defense in the league, top 7. But they weren't even the best. I don't even know if they were the best team in the league that year. That was an historic Mavericks team. That offense,
yeah.
That was historic. Mm-hmm. I mean, so, Dwayne Wade just put on in the finals. He really did.
Wade, I have it up here right now. In the playoffs, not the finals, just this playoffs, he averaged 28.4 points per game, 5.7 assists per game, and 5.9, basically 6 rebounds per game. He was an absolute monster. And 2006, I was a young pup, but I still kind of remember Dwayne Wade absolutely taking over. And he was, because of this playoffs and this finals, Dwayne Wade was one of my favorite players in the league at this time.
Yeah, I mean, you got White Chocolate on that team. Ooh. James Posey. I love the players on this team, but they weren't very good at the time.
Right, yeah. I mean, they put it together, obviously, and won a NBA Finals 4-2 over the Dallas Mavericks. I have the 2012 Heat beating the 2006 Heat in 5 games. I think a young, healthy Dwayne Wade can't even stop like the old, wise Dwayne Wade, which would be an awesome matchup. They have Antoine Walker is not touching LeBron. There's no one on that roster that's touching
that's
LeBron.
Disgusting to think.
Yeah, and I mean, like the 2012 Heat. I mean, Bosch is long. He's not nearly as strong as Shaq, obviously, but he could bother him with some length if he's not thrown in the second row by his back downs. But there's just no answer for LeBron for this 2006 Miami Heat team.
Right. The only like question mark is that Heat team still had some problems. I mean, that Indiana team was great defensively. They played in the Eastern Conference Finals, but they were down 2-1 to them, and they going to 7 games was a battle.
Yeah.
But definitely 2012 Heat. We're moving on.
Yep. All right, so recap the left side first round. We both have Warriors moving on. We split with the Cavs. I'm taking the Cavs, 2016 Cavs, and he's taking the 2002 Lakers. And then we both have 2013 Heat versus 2012 Heat. Going on to the first round on the right side, top right, we have the 2014 Spurs against the 2007 Spurs. This is interesting.
Yeah, so this Spurs team, honestly, it's not the best Duncan, it's not the best Manu, it's not the best Tony Parker, so that's a big issue. But in 2007, all those guys were much better, but this is the best team they played as one unit. One of the most exciting and fun beatdown performances ever, dismantling that Heat team.
That was wild. Making, I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, making LeBron look bewildered the whole time. It was just so fun watching Kawhi Leonard bloom onto the scene as a star, winning that MVP award that he deserved. It's a no-brainer for me. 2014 Spurs over the 2017 in five games.
Five games,
absolutely. But here's the thing. That 2014 Spurs, that was an historical shooting performance. They were lights out. Their percentages were top five all time in that finals. 2017 was 27th in offensive pace.
Not good.
Just
that's
think
old,
about, oh,
old
yeah.
man basketball.
You had Kawhi Leonard, Patty Mills, Danny Green, those guys. Danny Green lit it up, but they were all moving together and fast, much faster.
I'm glad that you touched on this because the 2014 Spurs were some of the sexiest basketball that I've ever seen.
My favorite.
Their ball movement was incredible. This was Kawhi's coming out party. I also have the Spurs, the 2014 Spurs, over their younger 2007 version of themselves. I have that in six games. A younger Tony Parker, younger Manu Ginobili, a younger Tim Duncan in 2007 was the only reason I gave this series six games. But 2014 has Kawhi Leonard. That is a huge difference maker for me. Obviously, these guys, his surrounding cast has aged well. 2014, they won a championship with still those three guys around Kawhi, but they were so deep. They had Manu off the bench who didn't even start, and you mentioned it. Danny Green was absolutely on fire from three that whole finals. They started Danny Green. They had Splitter at the five. Not a lot of people understand how good of a rim protector Splitter was for that defense.
He was huge. I thought he was actually going to do something in Atlanta, but shows how much Pop made him.
Yeah, exactly. So, Pop does that to a lot of guys. And then off the bench, they had Bellinelli, who averaged 11.4 points per game. Patty Mills, who I love and I still love, averaged 10.2 points per game.
Man crush.
Boris Diaw with 9.1, which he was more a little agile when he was younger. But he was a power forward that could pass, that could run an offense, that could handle the ball a little bit. And then a lot of people don't know that Corey Joseph was on that team. He was a good role player at the two and sometimes a backup one.
Yeah, that's one. Kujo came onto the scene. Kojo, sorry, that's the hockey goalie. But there's some fun names on that 2007 team to refresh people. It's Michael Finley. He was their fourth, above 10 points per game scorer there. Bruce Bowen, one of the best defensive players of all time. Oberto, Robert Horry, Brent Berry, Jacques Vaughn, Bino.
Oh, wow. Rock Jock.
You got it. And then Matt Bonner.
So you think that Bowen would be on Kawhi for that series, that matchup?
That would be stealth. But
that would be amazing to watch. I don't know. The 2014 Spurs matchup so much better against the 2007. Their 2007 team kind of seems small.
They could not keep up.
Right.
They couldn't keep up. I will tell you this, though. That 2007 team had the third best net rating of the decade. So depending on how much you value that statistic. That 2014 team was a top 10 as well, but there's some differences.
Right, yeah, this 2014 Spurs team was one team that really, really surprised me in this tournament, but we'll save that for a little bit later. Moving on, we both have the Spurs 2014. Next game on the right side is going to be the 2009 Lakers versus the 2003 Spurs.
Ooh, so this is peak Mamba.
This is peak Mamba
right here. These Lakers teams, I think, are a tad bit overrated, in my opinion. They did have the third best offensive efficiency and sixth best defensive efficiency that year, that Lakers team. This was peak Kobe. Peak Kobe beats peak Duncan, which 2003 was. Maybe 2005, but 2003, Duncan was there. I mean, his MVP that year. So I went Lakers in six. That was a 57-25 Spurs team. The Lakers had over 60 wins that year. But things to think about, that Spurs team had the sixth best defensive rating ever. That team was Bruce Bowen and his defensive prime.
Yep. That's the matchup. Bowen against Kobe. That would be amazing to watch.
Kobe's throwing flames on anybody there. But it's a top 10 in... four defensive categories as well, that Spurs team. And then first, an effective field goal percentage for you advanced boys.
I'm with you. I have the 2009 Lakers moving on. I have this in seven games. Very close. I have this as a like a prime Tim Duncan versus a prime Kobe, like you mentioned, but this Kobe was a fucking killer. Averaged 30 points in the playoffs this year, 5.5 assists, which is way more than we're used to having Kobe assist, and then 5.3 rebounds. He literally did it all. Shot 35% from the three-point line, but would literally go at Bruce Bowen. There's nothing he could do about it. Pop kind of made this for me going to seven games, but I just think Kobe's relentlessness and this prime Kobe wanting to prove that he could win a ring on his own without Shaq would not let this 2003 Spurs team get in the way.
Yeah, that Spurs team went 16-4. That's something to think about too, which is pretty dang impressive. They beat the Nuggets, Suns, Utah Jazz, and the Cleveland Cavaliers. Yet I don't think that Jazz team was very impressive.
No, I don't either.
Carlos Boozer as their second best player. Yikes. He's a pro Boozer.
All right, we both have 2009 Lakers moving on. We're 2-for-2 on the right side. Next game is 2017 Warriors, our new edition from the Matt Moore edition, against the 2010 Lakers.
Yeah, so this is Kobe again. Honestly, like I said earlier, oh, I haven't said this yet because we haven't talked about him yet. I personally believe the Celtics team should have won two or three titles. Kobe probably shouldn't have won.
The Celtics team?
The Celtics that played against twice.
Oh, okay.
And I really don't think Kobe should have won ever because, I mean, the Celtics won undoubtedly that first time. Then they didn't have KG. Then they didn't have Kendrick Perkins in a game seven.
Yeah.
Those Celtics teams were by far better, by far. And there's all the statistics back them up. Their depth on their team, the matchups, everything runs deep. I mean, Paul Gasol is very underrated, I think.
I agree.
I don't give Paul Gasol enough credit. But this is one of the few, this is the best team of all time, in my opinion, we're talking about, the 2017 Warriors.
Okay.
So, that I went on a little rant there without giving my pick. It's,
the suspense was killing.
Hell yeah. They obviously won in five, but it's funny we have them in the three seed in this pool. The Lakers shouldn't have been screwed over like this in the first round.
Right, yeah.
But that's just, we made it easy, so. The Lakers weren't even a top 10 offense that year. So against this historic Warriors defense, to even me giving them one game, that's tough.
Yep. I'm doing the same thing though. I'm throwing them a game, but I'm taking the 2017 Warriors to beat them in five. You said it. Underrated Pau Gasol. He had 18 points per game with 11 boards a game. This was like peak Gasol. And him teaming up with Kobe, it's not Kobe and Shaq. It's just a homeless poor man's Shaq and Pau Gasol, but it's still a good duo, and that's basically all the Lakers have going for them. The Warriors in 2017 were just stupid good. Any lineup that they threw at the Lakers, nobody's gonna have an answer for KD, Steph, Klay, and Draymond on the court at the same time. I have Warriors in five.
Yeah, I mean, say what you want. Lamar Odom's a great player. Andrew Bynum was good at times, but they were very overrated for what people give them credit for, from putting up numbers, let's say. I mean, defensively, Lamar Odom's pretty solid. Met a world peace at the time, Ron Artest, whatever you want to call that guy. Kobe averaged 29 in that finals that year. Pau Gasol, 19.6. And then from there, you got Ron Artest, 11, and Derek Fisher at 10, but Andrew Bynum, I was surprised to see that when I looked it up. I mean, his numbers were not good in that finals.
Yeah.
He got pushed around. They were one of the worst teams in this pool, in my opinion.
Yep, I agree. So we both have clean sweep so far, 3-for-3 on the right side. Last game of the first round, we have the 2008 Celtics.
Anything's possible. Anything's possible!
Versus the 2011 Dallas Mavericks.
Yeah, so this Dirk team was so fun.
Dirk went off in the finals.
Went absolutely off. I mean, he took it to LeBron, made him look silly. Kind of fun to talk about and think about, to making the second best player of all time look that silly. but he's only getting one game on these Celtics. That team was 8th best defensive rating of all time. I mean, arguably a top 5 defensive team. They were a match made in heaven and gave offenses hell on the other side.
Yes, they did.
They start, like, think about this. This is how quickly they gelled for the first time playing together. 29-3 right off the bat. That was the record.
That is crazy.
Unfreaking believable. And then the Seas led the league, the entire league, in effective field goal percentage. The Celtics, out of all these 16 final teams, they were the only team to beat another top 11 team.
Wow.
Put that into perspective.
Interesting.
Yeah, and that's from a statistical measures. So if you take statistics out of it, it could be a little different. But
I did do some research on their defense, and it's scary, stupid good. This is, I don't know if this is prime KG, but this is the scariest KG that he's ever been. Bumping his head against the rim before games or the backstop against games.
He's still
scaring the shit out of people in the league. This team went 66-16 in the regular season. Something I noted, they got exhausted in the playoffs. That year, they went 7 games in the first round, 7 games in the second round, 6 games in the third round, and 6 games to win a championship. That's 26 total games played. That's something I looked at when I was picking my winners of this tournament. And like we covered earlier, I'm a huge LeBron lover. And LeBron's first year in Miami, he played the Dallas Mavericks, and Dirk broke my heart and gave me so much respect at the same time. I was rooting so hard for the Heat to win that that series. Dirk averaged 28-8 and shot 46% from 3. Dude couldn't be stopped. Having said all this, I have the 2008 Celtics.
Oh, you're building that up pretty harshly.
I wanted you to make you think the best. I have him in 6 games. It's close just because of Dirk. Dirk was a fucking machine. But all said and done, 2008 Celtics beat him in 6.
Yeah, the words are really coming out today, because when you're talking about players this great, you got to emphasize on this shit. So I got a question for you.
Yeah.
How good do you think the Celtics team is? Because that second year after they won, they were still hungry as hell. They started off 44-11. 44-11.
That's
and then after that, KG goes down at that mark and doesn't play another game over 30 minutes.
Oh, wow.
So my real question to you, I mean, sure how good they are, but do you think they would have beat those Lakers team a little more?
I do. The 2008 Celtics, I mean, led by Doc, of all people. I mean, I don't think he's the best coach, and I think that he's held to a higher standard because he won this championship with Boston.
Well, when you got 4 Hall of Famers, 3 for
that'll
sure.
That'll do it.
Yeah,
that'll
I mean, do it. This you roster, just need to push those guys. Right, you need to get them amped up. Yeah. They can
not
do
much
this.
You have to do, just like Steve Kerr's doing now.
Right.
Just manage these guys, and Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett, Ray Allen, and Rajon Rondo in his prime are going to do the rest.
Right, so another fun fact here is the Celtics had 8 guys have a true shooting percentage of over 55. That's a lot.
Phenomenal, yeah.
Exactly.
I knew you'd love talking about this 2008 Celtics team.
Oh, I love it. It was just so fun. Along with the Spurs and the Warriors, both the Warriors team, this was definitely the most fun team for me to watch.
I bet.
It was awesome because KG, I wanted him to win so bad.
I love this KG, the most passionate player that I've ever seen. I love
it. And it all showed right here.
Yep. All right, that's a clean sweep on the right side. I think we disagreed, what, one time? I got the 2016 Cavs winning, and you got the 2002 Lakers winning. That's the only difference we had.
It's going to get fun, I think.
Yes, it will.
It's going to turn up a little bit here.
Right now, here we go. Second round. We're going to snake back around to the left side. So we got the second round game is very interesting. And this game, I put an asterisk next to as being one of the most entertaining games of this entire tournament. The 2015 Warriors against the 2016 Cavaliers in my case, but you have the 2002 Lakers.
Yeah, so like I said, the Cavs shouldn't have won their first title, their title with LeBron being back. I also don't think the Warriors would have won this one. And it's close. If because LeBron was one of the most historical performances of all time.
That was nuts.
I think the Cavs, if they had a healthy Kyrie Irving and a healthy Kevin Love, I mean, those teams, that team LeBron had was basically worse than his other finals Cavs teams.
It might have been.
No, I think it definitely was. And that LeBron was way better than those LeBrons. So, with that said, I factored that in a lot. I don't think this 2015 Warriors team really deserved to... I mean, they deserved to be champions, but, I mean, it was a big what-if, in my opinion. One of the bigger ones. And so, therefore, they don't have an answer. Draymond Green is not D-ing up Shaq. He's not. Andrew Bogut, it might, a little bit. He'll at least put the fire to the grill. I mean, he'll bruise him up a little bit, but I still think... I think Bogut's soft. He probably would have got a little ding on his chin or something, and he probably would have walked out of the game in tears. I have the Lakers upsetting them here in six.
Wow.
And it's funny because you look at this on the rankings here that they're the 9 seed, but I completely disagree with Matt Moore's ranking there. That's a garbage ranking.
Wow, that's surprising to me. Your Shaq thing is interesting. Obviously, I had the Cavs here, so I wasn't putting a lot of thought into the Lakers versus the Warriors. But I have the Warriors versus the Cavs here, and this broke my heart. The 2016 Cavaliers, with what LeBron did to bring a championship to Cleveland, I fell in love with. I'm a big, huge, like I said, LeBron homer. But I have the Warriors beating the Cavs in 7 games. And... It's because of one reason.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, you don't have the same.
You had the Lakers.
Yeah, I had the Lakers. You had the Cavs.
I got mixed up too. Yeah, but one thing is the reason that led me to believe the Warriors are going to win is because Steph Curry. In the 2015 Finals, Steph Curry wasn't healthy. This Finals, yep. He is going to be healthy. I mean, in our hypothetical world here, you're going to have a healthy Steph going out there, and what they did in the 2015 regular season was bananas. Nobody's done it. And so, a healthy Steph on the 2015 Warriors team, the MVP, against this 2016 Cavs, it breaks my heart to say it, but I think the Warriors are beating the Cavs here in 7 games.
Love you saying that. I disagree with even... I don't have the Cavs in it.
With my side, yeah.
But I disagree with your side there as well. I mean, Cavs, I mean... I think, obviously, this 2017 Warriors team destroys that Cavs team again, even though I think instead of 5 games, if the championship Cavs team was so much better than this year's Cavs team, even though their players were the same, they just played as a sole unit. They played together. Their chemistry was so much better. This is when Kyrie wasn't butthurt over not being the guy.
Yeah.
But I just don't see that.
The 2016 Cavs.
It's close. It's definitely close.
You mentioned it before, though. They were one Draymond suspension away from getting beat. That simple. Game 5.
Mm-hmm.
And the Warriors could have clinched it right there. But luck was on their side. I think if you play that back 10 times, the record-setting regular season most wins in a season Warriors are going to win another series 9 times out of 10. As much as I love LeBron, I'm going to admit that a lot of their championship was lucky. If Draymond just keeps his cool, doesn't get suspended, they don't lose game 5 and they don't lose the entire championship. So,
yeah,
this 2016, yeah. In perspective, this 2016 Cavs team, I have that in mind when I made this choice of the 2015 Warriors beating them in 7, but I'm talking triple overtime. Game 7, the Warriors barely squeak it up.
Oh, when we get into the second round here and beyond, I mean, every series, first round of the series, we're pretty close, but all of these are bloodbaths. These guys are...
Yeah. So, another difference there. I like that your Lakers are moving on to Final 4. Let's move on bottom left side. We got the 2013 Heat versus the 2012 Heat. You got that, right?
Yep.
Same matchup?
Right. Same matchup.
Who you got?
So, obviously... The 2013 Heat are better. They are. They're more polished. That was their peak. That was their peak. So I honestly don't think there's any argument. This is the 4 seed in this bracket versus the 5. I was because I mean they're better, but they're still the same players essentially. They also added Ray Allen though.
That was
the thing. So yep. I gave the 2013. I don't need to touch on this one too long unless you have some weird upset. But six games. And the other thing I like to touch on with this 2013 Heat is they mastered the small ball with Chris Bosh at the five and stretching him out to the wings.
There it is.
The corners.
Yep. I have the exact same thing. 2013 Heat. They've been there before. They have just a year more of experience under their belt. I know the 2012 championship came easier for the Heat, but that doesn't matter here because they're basically the exact same players playing against each other. Dwayne Wade on Dwayne Wade, LeBron on LeBron. Except for Ray Allen. Ray Allen wasn't on that team. Ray Allen is on the 2013 Heat. And his shot against the Spurs single-handedly gave them life. The 2013 Heat move on in my bracket in seven games. Just because, like I said, they're Dwayne Wade against Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade knows that he likes to go right. He likes to pull up when he goes left. LeBron knows how to guard LeBron. That would be it would be insane to watch. But one difference maker, Ray Allen, and just a year of experience does it for me.
I think the biggest difference maker that we didn't even touch on, I got pretty mad at myself for this, but the Birdman. They had the Birdman.
Birdman.
I mean, they still had Battier and Miller, but they throw in the Birdman, and she gets wild.
Intimidation factor, yep. That'll do it.
All right.
All right, right side. We got 2014 Spurs against the 2009 Lakers.
Okay, so to this 2014 Spurs, one of the best teams of all time as a cohesive unit, as one, and that's how basketball is supposed to be played. It's Pop at his absolute finest. I think Kawhi is at his defensive prime. Did he win Defensive Player of the Year that year?
He, I don't know.
2014, there's he was up there. His defensive abilities were pretty polished at that point. But the Spurs were top three in offensive rating that whole year. So it wasn't just the finals they were clicking. It was the whole freaking year. I have the Spurs over the Lakers because Kawhi on Kobe. And Duncan is still just as good as Paul Gasol that year.
Yep.
So I have the Spurs over the Lakers in six.
Six? Exactly the same with me too. Cool. Kawhi is a difference maker. This 2014 Spurs team, we mentioned it before. Sexiest basketball maybe we've ever seen. And you said it. They're cohesiveness as a team, ball movement, which allowed extra pass after extra pass for an open three to improve their percentage by 2%, 3%, just that much more. Unselfish play. I think that unselfish play in team basketball trumps Kobe Bryant's mission to just kill everybody. So I have 2014 Spurs moving on here as well.
And also that Spurs bench was so much better than that Lakers bench.
Yes, that bench, whew. When I looked that up, Bellinelli, Mills, Diaw, and Corey Joseph, that is absolutely loaded. I didn't realize that back then when I was watching it.
Yeah, that's a fire bench.
All right, 2017 Warriors against the 2008 Celtics, and this is going to be very interesting on your end.
So, it is an interesting. It's a no-brainer, but in the same sense, I mean, this Celtics team was definitely a top three, top four team. In this entire champions ballot, definitely. I think you should be able to agree with that, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Okay, great. So this Warriors
was... Tough matchup, though.
Yeah, very, very tough matchup. I think the pace, the Celtics can definitely slow them down. If anybody in this whole whole tournament has a chance against these guys, it's them and then the 2013 Heat, in mm-hmm. my opinion. The Warriors definitely win, but I have it going seven games.
Wow.
And no, I seriously, because you have four stars on both sides.
Yeah,
you have four stars on both sides. This is peak Rondo.
Mm-hmm.
This is peak Rondo, and Rondo's actually D'ing the hell out of Steph Curry. He's bothering him. Steph Curry, I think, would, against that Rondo, that's the thing I look at there. I think he'd drive him nuts. And top to bottom, they match up so well. They just don't have an answer for KG. So KG is what basically propels them that far. That Celtics, they push that Warriors team around. I think Draymond Green might get suspended for a game or two as well.
He's definitely playing some mind games with the Celtics, that's for sure. KG versus Draymond is
God, that would have been so fun to watch. Yes. Man, that would have been probably been my most heavenly matchup.
That would be insane to watch. Let me ask you one question, though. Say the Warriors enter their death lineup, and they go Iguodala at the three, KD at the four, Draymond at the five. Who's guarding KD?
Or is KD at the five their death line?
Well, they did run that last year a lot, I want Draymond on the court as well. I just don't see KG stopping KD if that's who you're going to put on him. Or you're going to take Kendrick Perkins out. I don't know. I don't know how that matches up.
No, KG's not D'ing up KD. It'd
no one's
D'ing Pierce,
up KD.
But Pierce is a very underrated defender his whole career. He could definitely bother Kevin Durant, but he's not stopping him.
No one is stopping KD.
He's not slowing him down to the point he'd need to. And that would be the biggest, just like it was this year, biggest problem.
Right.
That would be the biggest problem there. But Ray Allen, I mean, he'd give Clay some work. And Clay was really bad in this finals. So
yeah, they're similar players, though. They know how to follow each other off ball screens and play defense against one another. Clay has better defense than Ray Allen, but they are, like I said, similar players. Shooters can guard shooters. They're familiar with their footwork and their actions around screens. So who do you have here? You have 2017 Warriors?
Oh, for sure.
Okay. Hands. How many games?
Seven
games. Yeah. That's right. You said that. Okay. My one thing when I was deciding who wins this game popped out at me very quickly. I have the Warriors moving on in five games.
Please.
And this is why. The 2008 Celtics team was 27th in the league in turnovers. You cannot turn the ball over against this Warriors team.
I like that.
They will get transition bucket after transition bucket after transition bucket. We saw it with the Cavs. Their number one reason why they got blown out in the first couple games of this last finals is because they turned the ball over. They couldn't take care of the ball, and it was leading to fast break threes and fast break uncontested dunks from KD was ripping the rim off.
Might have to fact check you there.
You can pull it up right now.
That offense was phenomenal.
It was hard to believe that they were 27th in the league of turnovers with Rondo at the helm in his prime. Right. But with that, I saw that, and I was like, okay, that is a match made in hell for Boston. But
that's what also makes this Warriors team so impressive, though, because the Celtics, you can see, because they were so talented, because they had so many stars, you can get more loose, get away with those turnovers a lot more. That's what makes that Warriors team so much more impressive, is they were so tight and straight with the ball.
Yeah, they were. And, I mean, that's the one thing that put me over the top of the Warriors. This series would have been a lot closer if I had not seen that. But since I had seen that, it's Warriors in five.
I mean, I'm not going to... Whoever you got against that 2017 Warriors team, I don't care what you have, Matt. But tell me this. How fun would that Kendrick Perkins-Zaza matchup be?
It'd be unbelievable. Cheap shot after cheap shot.
Yeah, and what about the benches? I mean, the benches, I think, it'd be close. It'd be close, but you got Eddie House, Tony Allen. Definitely the Celtics defense on the bench is so much better.
Strong,
but offensively...
Yeah.
Glenn Davis was very underrated for that team. He was big. Leon Poe, James Posey could score and knock it down.
Yeah. I think their defensively, their bench was better, but the Warriors are also deep. Granted, they did have to give up a lot to get Durant off their bench, but they still have Livingston, who could start at various teams in the league. They have Ian Clark and Patrick McCaw, who were, I mean... Once they got in, you could depend on them to make an open three. Andre Iguodala, former Finals MVP. He's been there before. Wily veteran. And then David West, for intimidation purposes, kind of similar to Birdman. But he is a bully down low. It's pretty evenly matched on the bench, honestly. But the bench wasn't really the factor that had the Warriors above the Celtics here.
Now, earlier I was saying the Celtics had eight guys with a true shooting percentage of over 55. Well, the Warriors had 10, and led by JaVale McGee at 74.
Jeez, that's insane. Yeah, 2017 Warriors are going to be a disaster matchup for anybody going forward, but let's move on here. Left side, we're in the final four.
All right, so we got, I think we're all square here, are we?
No, we got this top left bracket, we're different.
Okay.
You got the Lakers here.
Yep.
So you got the 2002 Lakers versus the 2013 Heat. Who you got?
Yep, so this is peak LeBron. I think Bosh, I mean, he's going to have a really tough time on Shaq. A really tough time.
Yeah.
But that's why I gave him six games. And I wouldn't be shocked if the Lakers won this, honestly. They could, but the Heat were just deep. Their defense was strong. Shaq is the only problem, but I don't think that Lakers team could keep up. I don't think... The pace that the Heat moves at, that's a different story. That 2013 Heat was LeBron's best team. Chris Bosch, like they said, small ball has perfected him at the five. They'd have that double team on Shaq figured out because Dwayne Wade can be out on Kobe, LeBron and Chris Bosch down on Shaq.
Yep.
So then look, Ray Allen in the corner just swishing.
So who you got?
Oh, I said 2013 Heat and six.
And six, wow. And
six, yep.
That's good to hear. And I like what you said about their pace. Like I said, when I stated the fact that the 2002 Lakers were third in the league at 101 points per game in 2002, times are changing. They see this 2013 Heat team and have no idea what's going on. Great point by you, and that makes a lot of sense. On my side of the bracket, I had the 2015 Warriors against this 2013 Heat team. And this is very interesting. We're kind of used to this rivalry of the Cavs versus Warriors for three straight years now. And having this LeBron-led Heat team, it's kind of a weird dynamic to it. But I have also the 2013 Heat moving on in seven games, beating the 2015 Warriors.
Awesome.
This was tough for me. Without KD on this 2015 team, they have a little hole of who's going to guard LeBron. I'm not sure who's going to stop him. Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh also are going to be problems. I don't know how Draymond can stretch out that far and guard Chris Bosh in either the post or if he's going to run the trail in the transition and guard him out in the three-point perimeter.
Man, I don't even know if they're having Draymond on him. I mean, you'd think Andre Iguodala would go on LeBron.
They're going to have to Draymond. Play a defensive lineup.
They probably would. I mean, Zaza's not going to be able to move with Chris Bosh.
No.
That's
the thing. Like yeah, you were talking right. about, that's 2013 small ball Heat is another reason why they're better than the 2012 Heat when they played, who was their five? They had Bosh at the four and I don't even know. Nobody at their five. Who knows? Birdman, maybe?
Yeah, it was Birdman, definitely.
But
and Joel Anthony.
But yeah, that's going to be a problem.
Udonis Haslem.
Oh, there you go. I mean, he's undersized. What is he, like 6'7", 6'8"? The Heat provide matchup problems, and they're bigger, faster, and stronger than the Warriors. I have Heat in seven.
Yeah. No, I'm with you there. I like that. The Heat, man, they didn't have an easy run. Easy teams they beat, sure. But they didn't make it easy. They went seven games twice. They started with the Bucks, swept them. They lost one to the Bulls. Derrick Rose wasn't really there. Yeah. They even lost one without Derrick Rose. I don't think he was there that year.
Jeez.
No, he definitely wasn't. And then Indiana Pacers, this is the year they were down 2-1. Seven-game series.
It's scary.
Against that Pacers team. So, Roy Hibbert. That was Roy Hibbert in his prime.
That's gross to think about.
That's disgusting. And then they beat the Spurs in seven games. So, it wasn't an easy run for them, but no championship run should be.
Absolutely. Yeah. So, we both have 2013 Heat in the championship. Champion of champions. Against the winner of the 2014 Spurs versus the 2017 Warriors, and this is epic.
Yep. So this is definitely the championship in my opinion.
Wow.
If it's not the Celtics, because the Celtics aren't here, but the Spurs would beat the 2013 Heat if they played. They would be. It was the better Spurs team, and the Spurs the year before took them to seven games. They should have won. The Spurs should have won back to back.
Ray Allen.
Oh yeah. They should have won back to back. So LeBron should literally only have one or two titles. Draymond, Ray Allen.
Yeah, you can make the same. Yeah, you can.
Yeah, there's what it. That's the whole game of basketball. Yeah. NBA. What if? Should have? Could have. It's fun to think about. Might have to do a whole episode on what ifs. But I have the 2017 Warriors winning in six games over those Spurs. But yeah, this is the championship. I mean. Two teams, I think by the end of that final series, it took until the finals for that Warriors team to finally, I don't think they've perfected it yet, but they're very close. They played very cohesive. They played off each other's strengths. The chemistry was there. Everybody went to work, and it was great ball movement. So in that case, their defense was just as good as that Spurs team. And that's why they won in six. I mean, they could have even won in five because Duncan Parker and Ginobili weren't at their prime, but it's just how good of a shooting performance. Like, that Spurs had a better shooting performance than the Warriors did.
Yeah, they were fucking out of their minds shooting. I'm with you. I have Warriors in six. I've never seen a team like this 2017 Warriors team. This is a huge game. I love this matchup, but it's not that great of a matchup for San Antonio. They're older. What is Tony Parker? I mean, in 2014, Tony Parker was probably around 36 years old. Manu, 38. Tim Duncan also up there. They're not going to keep up with Steph, Clay, KD. That's going to be embarrassing. I have Warriors moving on here. They're just a matchup nightmare anywhere you look at it. Even if the Spurs shot lights out, the Warriors would match. The Warriors, or the Spurs' argument here, would be their bench. It's kind of scary that you could just bring in Bellinelli, who's averaging 11.4, Mills, who's averaging 10.2, and Diaw, 9.1 off the bench, and you wouldn't necessarily drop off by that much. Kawhi is the only caliber player that I would be worried about if I was a Warriors. You could put him on KD, and that would be an epic matchup. You could put Kawhi on Clay. You could put Kawhi on Steph, depending on who's hot for the Warriors. That's an interesting dynamic to this whole matchup, is who Kawhi Leonard would guard. But take that away. Say he guards KD. If you take KD away, they're the 2015 Warriors. So what are you going to do? You're fucked again. Right. So they just have too many guys to throw at you. And that's why I have the 2017 Warriors facing the 2013 Miami Heat in the finals.
Yeah, I honestly don't see any other way. Like, the Celtics is the only team that could slide in there, honestly. But I think we do have the two best teams here. I think I'm very happy with that.
I'm honestly surprised that you had the exact same championship as I did.
Yeah, it's crazy. We don't plan this out. It's like, great minds.
Yeah.
But I want to touch on that Spurs team. There's four guys who averaged double figures. They had two with 9 points and close to 10 there. So six guys basically averaging 10 points a game. The scoring was just so spread. Kawhi was the finals MVP that year and only averaged 14 points throughout the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yes, yet his finals were around 20 there. Tony Parker was leading the way at 17. Duncan, like, nobody was in their prime there.
They're so well-rounded.
Right.
Everybody's a threat.
Right. And now their bench is what made them. Their shooting performances were off the charts. That team had 11 guys with a true shooting percentage of over 56. 11 guys!
That's dumb.
And Tony Parker was number 12 at 53.
That's crazy.
And he was their leading scorer. So put that in perspective, how balanced. That was an epic shooting performance.
Yeah, so shout out to the 2014 Spurs. Then.
Much deserved.
Third place. We'll give him third place in this bracket. All right, championship. We both have the same one. 2013 Miami Heat versus the 2017 Warriors.
Yeah, the question is just how many games. I mean, like, this is another one. I mean, it's a no-brainer in my opinion. But it all depends on how many games and breaking down this matchup. This is angry LeBron, and he's angry, full headband. Hairline still standing strong a little bit. It's starting to leave. But I have the Warriors in six. I just think it'd be a really fun matchup. It'd be a lot of fun. But that KD, I mean, just look, running down those matchups there. Chalmers is not doing anything to Steph Curry.
No.
Actually, Dwayne Wade would be on Steph Curry because Chalmers would be on that really shitty Klay Thompson this year. Klay, get better.
So you have Warriors in six. I have Warriors in five.
Cool. I'm fine with that.
So the most games that the Warriors were challenged to is six games with your 2014 San Antonio Spurs. Other than that, the Warriors, I'm not going to say cakewalk because these are all champions playing against champions, but five games in the first round, five games in the second round, six games in the final four, and five games in the championship. This is the best team I've ever seen. I've been watching basketball for a long time. I've been covering basketball very closely for a long time now, and I've never seen a more dynamic, a more versatile starting five, let alone combined with their bench, better team than the 2017 Golden State Warriors. And a lot of the reason why I have them in five over the Heat is strictly because of matchups. If you take a look at the starting five for each team, Chalmers, Ray Allen, Dwayne Wade at the three, LeBron at the four with their small ball lineup, and Bosch at the five, they're not guarding a soul on Golden State.
Right, their bench doesn't compare either.
No, they were ninth in defense in the league in 2013, but Chalmers and Ray Allen are complete liabilities. Who's going to guard Steph, Clay, Durant, Draymond, and Zaza? That team was first offensively by a mile and second overall in defense in 2017.
Did you forget about Shane Battier?
That's what I'm about to say.
That's broken, Shane Battier.
If they want a chance at stopping the Warriors, they're going to have to play strictly a defensive lineup. They're going to take out, I mean, I would put LeBron honestly at the one. Take Chalmers out. He's too big of a liability. I'd have LeBron at the one, and then I'd have Ray Allen at the two with Wade at the three, praying that Ray Allen can run with Clay. I'm putting him on Clay and just hoping that he can run him off screens. Even that's not good. But then I have Battier at the three, like you mentioned. Great defender, gritty guy, with LeBron at the four, Bosch at the five. And I wouldn't be scared to play Haslam and Birdman some minutes just to try to muck up the game and slow it down and get some fouls on them. But they were 24th in defending the three-point line as far as attempt goes in the 2013 season. And that's the strength of the Warriors. That does not bode well. And 11th in three-point percentage allowed. They were allowing their opponents to shoot 35%. That is not a good mixture if you're playing against the 2017 Golden State Warriors.
Yeah, that Warriors team was fourth in pace in the league. They were first in offensive rating, second in defensive rating. And to put in perspective, that Heat team was 23rd in pace. I think they'd run them out at the gym. Bosch and Wade aren't keeping up.
And it's not like all these guys are like old either. The Golden State Warriors are relatively young.
You're right. Even that bench unit would be just destroy the Cavs bench unit. Ray Allen isn't doing much there.
No. I'm scared to have Ray Allen on the floor with Chalmers on the defensive end. I see the Warriors going on 17-3 runs with Spoelstra having to call a quick TO. Not to mention, Golden State was one game away of a perfect playoffs this year.
Right.
That's unbelievable.
So we talk about the Heat and their tough playoff run there, but the Spurs, the Heat blew through it, but the Spurs would have gave the Warriors a run, but the Warriors blew through it this year. They blew through it. I think the Heat with a healthy Kawhi this year probably would have got two games off him. You think that's fair?
Maybe. Yeah.
And regardless, that would have been only three games versus seven or eight the Heat lost. Seven. Yep. So putting that in perspective, the Warriors' best team of all time.
I'm right there with you. That's crazy. Same champion. Almost a no-brainer. But what the Warriors are doing right now is certainly amazing to watch and super special. That was very fun. We learned actually a lot doing all this research about teams and the history of some of these NBA guys. We should definitely do this again in some way or fashion, almost like year by year in the future.
Right. Just got to keep expanding that historical knowledge.
Absolutely.
And maybe bring it further back a little bit. But that was a lot of fun. Had to do a lot of research there just to understand how good these teams were in their time. And then really thinking about comparing their time periods to each guy. A lot goes into that one.
That was the most interesting thing for me. Rule changes, like I said, the 2002 Lakers playing the 2016 Cavs in the first round. That's 14 years of difference. 14 years of rule changes, body evolution. It's just really interesting to hypothetically put these guys in games together.
I want to cap off that 2013 team that we had in the finals against the Warriors. Was that the best LeBron team for you?
Ooh, that's really tough. I'm tempted to say it was 2016, but that would be really close. I'm not sure.
Wow. Why?
I just think that him as
did
a Cav, like,
rabbit hole?
I'm not sure. Yeah, you did. I'm not convinced that LeBron is, he's in his prime as we speak. 2017, 2018 could be even better. And what he proved in the playoffs this year and the finals this year is that he's not slowing down. So it's kind of hard to even imagine what's next for him, but it would be a toss up.
But Wade was better than Kyrie, I think.
I would agree with that.
It was close, but Wade is still better than Kyrie at that point.
I would agree.
Bosh is greater than Love defensively.
They're very similar.
Offense, I might give edge to Love, but man, I think Bosh just fit better.
His length would probably be a problem too. Love isn't as long, but yeah.
Really, I think I got you to say yes. Maybe. All right, guys. That was a lot of fun. Till next time.
Absolutely. Till next time. Thanks, Zach.